Federal Education and Economic Development Finance and Policy Committee. Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski present.
Pawlowski present. Representative Sindel.
Present.
Representative Sindel present. Representative Keel.
Representative Keel present.
Representative Keel present. Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Bierman present. Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Bliss present. Representative Burkle.
Present.
Representative Burkle present. Representative Frazier.
Present.
Representative Frazier present. Representative Hamilton.
Present.
Representative Hamilton present. Representative Lislegarde. Representative McDonald. Representative Sunstead.
Present.
Representative Sunstead present. Representative Sundin.
Present.
Representative Sundin present. We do have a quorum.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, my apologies. I am present. Representative Lislegarde.
Okay, Representative Lislegarde is with us. That's quite all right. Representative Sandell, do you have a motion for us?
I do, Mr. Chair. I've read the minutes of our February 9th meeting. I consider them complete and accurate and move their adoption.
Representative Sandell moves the minutes of the previous meeting. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Members, the agenda today is going to consist of something that we started working on in the Winona mini session of 2019. A number of you were at the hearing that was at the Technical College, or Minnesota State Southeast, but I still prefer the old name. And the hearing revolved around recreating what we once had, a licensure and certification for what we called vocational ed teachers in our high schools. That legislation was passed last session. Both Winona State and Minnesota State College Southeast are working on a 2+2 program. So I'm going to have Scott Olson and Marcia Danielson, please introduce yourself for the record. And then they have a presentation and an update on where that program is. So welcome to the committee. And I don't know who wants to go first, but why don't we have President Olson go first?
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Scott Olson. I'm president of Winona State University, and my colleague Marcia Danielson's going to kick us off here.
All right. President Danielson, welcome to the committee, and why don't you begin?
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Good morning, everyone. I'm Marcia Danielson, president of Minnesota State College Southeast, and I became president on July 1st of just 21, so only 7 months in. We have campuses in Winona and Red Wing. Community Technical College since 2016, even though that's much to Representative Pawlowski's chagrin. Well, first off, I want to say thank you for supporting the Career and Technical Education Teacher Education Program. President Olson and I are very excited to tell you more about the program and the progress. And for those who may be new to this, similar to myself, President Olson is going to give us a little bit of a history about how we got here. Scott?
President Olson.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Thank you, Marcia. Owen, if you could call up the second of our slides. So the next one after that. Yep, thank you. So as Representative Pawlowski indicated, this started with the Winona mini session, and we are still talking about this down here in Winona. Thank you, Minnesota House of Representatives, for doing that. I think most of you were able to come down for part or all of that, and it was really phenomenal. A lot of good things came out of it, and one of the things that came out of it was this Career and Technical Education Teacher Education Program. There was a clear recognition that we didn't have enough workers coming out of high schools to go into manufacturing, to go into transportation, to go into a number of careers in Minnesota that are great jobs, going wanting. And there was a recognition that part of the problem was we weren't really doing what we used to call in our day of vocational technical education in the schools anymore. And the reason, when we looked at it, the reason was because we don't have enough teachers. School districts are wanting teachers who can teach career and technical ed in the K-12 schools, but they can't find them. And that's where the vision came to do a program to bring back something that we used to be so great at. And that was preparing teachers to go out and teach career and technical ed in the schools. Owen, next slide, please. So the goal of the program is to just improve the pipeline of these teachers for Minnesota schools and blending the technical skill training that they get at Minnesota State College Southeast, the technical skills, with the ability to be a licensed teacher in Minnesota, putting those things together. I should just say, this is the kind of thing that Minnesota State Colleges and Universities are really good at. You've probably been hearing about the CNA program. You know, these kind of partnership things we do to bring value to Minnesota is something that I think our system's particularly good at and why Marcia and I are proud to serve within it. Owen, next slide, please. This is a table that shows the, maybe a little hard to read, legislators, but this is a table that shows the different standards for licensure in Minnesota. There's a rubric for it. If you're very curious about this and want to go deeply, Owen Worth has the slide and he can share it with you later. But I think we can advance to the next slide and just talk about what this program is going to do. So next slide, please, Owen. Thank you. And so the type one and type two licensure are temporary licenses. And so they work for a little while, but they won't stay with you forever. So what we're shooting for to start off would be a tier three licensure, which can be renewed, and is not time limited. But you have a higher standard there in terms of what you have to meet to reach tier three. And eventually we hope we can meet tier four after we've rolled the program out and run it for a few years. Next slide, please. And this is for Dr. Daniels.
Thank you, Scott. So right now, what we're looking at for career tech ed program areas include the construction careers, include the manufacturing careers, both mechatronics, the computer integrated machining or machine tooling, those are both in place already, as well as electrical engineering and the welding programs. The manufacturing engineering technology program is just a little bit different than what we have, and we'll need to go through the approvals to get that in line for fall of 23. Our transportation area, we are currently rebuilding our automotive program. It's under a redesign, and that will come back. I mean, we're continuing to with that, but the new one that will work best for this program will come online the fall of 24. And then we also have a business education program that's currently running. It's launched and running at Minnesota State College Southeast. So the issue with this is all of the instructors will get the standards that they need to be a teacher, plus the requirements in each of these discipline areas. Owen, move forward. So basically what this diagram shows is that once the individuals transfer to Winona State University, they are still going to be able to co-teach. So what we'll do is have co-teaching of those skills. So they'll come to Minnesota State College Southeast and observe and then also prepare, so they can get those skills portion in addition to their educational standards for teaching. Next slide, Owen. So how this all works is, a process for approvals, and that's what we're moving through right now. First, we do the internal campus committee approval. Then we move to Minnesota State Colleges and Universities for approval. And then we also have certain approvals that need to go to the Higher Learning Commission. Additionally, the Professional Education Licensure Standard Board, PELSB, we need to submit to them by the end of this year, 12/31/22, in order to get this all on the books by fall of 23. Next slide, Owen. This slide just documents you know, how we're going to address the timeline. It's a Gantt chart for that. As you can see, the first cohort would be starting at Winona State University in the fall of 23. That's the goal. President Olson, do you have anything more you want to say here?
I would only just say we're well underway. Deans at both colleges, faculty at both colleges are working hard on this right now. I would note that that Higher Learning Commission that Dr. Danielson was referring to is in Chicago. It's a governing board that governs really all higher ed, public, private, for-profit. And we need their accreditation approvals or we cannot offer federal financial aid to our students. So they have their own processes after it leaves our campus, after it leaves Minnesota State. It has to go to Chicago for their review. It is a bit cumbersome, but we're making great progress on this and we'll be there when we need to be. I think we can go to the next slide.
So what we're really hoping is to be able to draw from many different pathways into this program. We want multiple entry and exit points so that it really is conducive to adult learners of all walks of life. So it's going to allow us to attract those who had been in military service. They might be in a manufacturing career and want to come into a different education, you know, possibly somebody that wants to make a difference in an encore career. They might be mid-career teachers in a certain area and really have the skill set or the interest to take a new discipline area on, as well as the high school students. So we're looking to be as open-minded in how we can attract people to this area as possible. Go on, next slide. So I don't know that we want to say this is necessarily challenges, but we wanted to let you know some of the things that that we will work on is credit for prior learning, sometimes called prior learning assessment. And that is where individuals can demonstrate that they have the previous knowledge that we're looking for within these courses that we're offering, and they earned it not necessarily in a classroom, so that they might be in a disciplinary area, as we mentioned, in a mid-career teacher, where all of those things are, you know, their skill set is transferable for the most part. So they can demonstrate that to us through oral interviews. They can possibly take a written exam. They will need to come and demonstrate the skills, as obviously for the technical skills attainment part. But we're very excited to be building that into this program. In addition to college students that might be down a path already and then they want to repurpose and go down this, so that we will have those opportunities available if they want a credential in a field like this. This accelerated option, you know, we're really wanting to be successful at this and to get those teachers into the classroom skilled up as they need to be. And so we are also talking about, you know, boot camps or short spurts that they might come in for on weekends or nights or anything like that. So there's a lot of things that we're working on. And then one that's an unknown at this point is the announcement that there will be forthcoming changes to the standards of education practice. We just don't know a lot of information about that. Next slide. Scott?
So what makes the program unique? Well, back in the day when we would train vocational ed teachers here at Winona State, we did it all ourselves, which meant that we were probably leaning heavy on the teacher education part. You might even remember if you were at the hearing that happened during the mini session, there was testimony from Scott Hannon. He had been the superintendent of the Winona Area Public Schools. He was a product of Winona State's vocational education teacher program back then. But if you have not been to Minnesota State College Southeast, you have no idea how awesome their labs are. They have an advanced manufacturing lab there, supported in part by private industry here in Winona, that is the envy of the state. And they are much better positioned to do the technical ed part of this. We're better to, you know, we're the ones who can do the licensure, but they can make sure that students, the students going through the program, future teachers, have absolutely state-of-the-art knowledge of what's going on in manufacturing, in construction, in transportation, and in business. And so that's why we're so proud to be partnered with them. They'll complete the associate degree there, and then they'll come here and get the professional ed sequence. Depending on what pathway they're taking, they may already have a bachelor's degree. They may not need it, or they may need it, in which case they would have to complete a bachelor's degree here at Winona State. They'll be able to kind of learn about the pedagogy, kind of learn while doing, learn about the pedagogy while also doing the technical skills things that are going to be required for them when they graduate. Lots of opportunities to participate in advisory committees and various CTSOs that exist. And then the ability to be mentored, not only by instructors here, but by industry professionals. So we're pretty excited about those things that make it really unique. And you know, if you don't remember kind of the geography of Winona, it's only just a couple of miles between Marcia's campus and mine. So very, very easy for students to go back and forth. And already our students do that frequently. Next slide, please. So what completion would look like would be 60 credits at the college. So that would earn them an associate degree of applied science. There'd be 15 credits of general ed in that, and then 45 credits of this technical education piece that Dr. Danielson's been talking about. And then they would have to complete a professional education sequence here at Winona State. That's 33 credits. That's where they get the skills to actually go out and be a teacher. We'll have to design some new courses. We don't have courses like this, and they'll be co-taught. This is very exciting. Co-taught between the faculty at the college and the faculty at the university. And then they have to go out and engage with industry and do internships. Now, if they want to complete a bachelor's degree, they would have to get to 120. But like we said, we want pathways for folks to enter this from all kinds of different backgrounds. So some of them may already have parts of this already in their background. And next slide, please.
Well, Scott, I would just like to add to that, so that the committee knows that those 15 hours of early child, early clinical experience, we are going to try and build that into the gen ed credits, and at the university level, the 100 clinical hours too as well. They're going to try and build as much of that in as possible to expedite this program.
Thank you. And then this is our last slide. So here's sort of what the budget looks like. We have to hire some new faculty to teach this. It's a new area for us. We need to do the development of the curriculum, and that includes having to, you know, pay the Higher Learning Commission for them to review it and look at it and approve it. We have to create those industry mentoring opportunities, externships, we call them. We need some marketing materials so the world is aware that this is happening and we can recruit students to it. And then we have to visit some school districts to promote it. So this is how the budget looks. But we are so grateful that you supported this program. And we are so excited to be working on it. We think it's great for Minnesota. And this committee has always cared so much about what's good for Minnesota. And I thank you for your service to this committee, but also your service to the state. Dr. Danielson, any remarks on the budget before we turn it over for Q&A?
No, I'm very, very grateful as well to the committee and would love to host any questions that you might have.
So with that, Representative Pawlowski, we are ready to answer any questions.
All right, the first one I see is Representative Bierman. Representative Bierman, question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And first question is for maybe Dr. Danielson down at the Technical College. What is the current capacity of the school and where do you stand as far as numbers now?
President Danielson.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. We have about 2,100 students. Far more capacity, obviously. We have suffered a decline in enrollment over the last decade and certainly with COVID, but we're actually stable at this point in time, not continuing to lose a great deal of enrollment. So we're in good shape.
Representative Bierman.
A follow-up, please, Mr. Chair. Yeah, thank you for that. I really like the part of the program where you're talking about the evidence of proven skills. Obviously, that's something that would be very attractive to people who've been in the trades a while or had other careers. What is the average age of the enrollees that are in the classes now? If you could just give me a rough idea of where they are. Thanks.
Yeah, we're actually a little bit younger than
Danielson.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. We actually are a little bit younger than most community and technical colleges. Our average age is about 26, 27.
Thank you for that. Mr. Chair, one more question, please.
Thank you, Chairman.
Just wondering how much of the program in totality of the two parts is it conducted online, if any?
Why don't we start with President Danielson and then we'll go to President Olson. President Danielson.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know that that has been determined. I certainly know that within the trades area, being the construction, the manufacturing careers, and what will be transportation, those three are very hands-on programs. The business education component that we do offer may very well be online.
Okay.
Olson.
Chair Pawlowski, Representative Bierman, thanks to the Minnesota House and Senate, we have this fantastic education village here in town. And so we prefer to do most of the instruction in person, but there are some aspects of teacher licensure that can be done online. I don't think we've quite figured out which piece goes where, but the fact that we have this new state-of-the-art facility, we want to use it to the extent we can.
Representative Bierman, Winona State University was the first of the universities to become a laptop university. A certain legislation had to be carried to allow the students to use funds to be able to either lease or buy laptops. Their system is so far advanced that most of the colleges in the system go to Winona State for how to implement laptop instruction. So Winona State is fortunate, and this has been going on for now almost 20 years, that they've been in that position.
Thank you for that, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the good work down there. And I think colleges will be going down to Winona and Southwest for CTE as well. Thank you.
Representative Sandel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How easy or difficult is it to replicate this program in other state universities and community colleges? And have you had a chance to talk about that with any of your colleagues?
Representative Sandel, you might want to turn your mic up a little bit. I heard the question, and I'm not sure if President Danielson or President Olson did, but we'll start. President Danielson, I think the guts of the question is how easy is this to replicate once you get up and going? And replication is one of the things that we had looked forward to once this is up and running, but there are some issues with replication too. So let's start with President Danielson, then we'll go to President Olson. President Danielson.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski, and thank you for the question, Representative Sandel. From as far as replicability, we know that within our program, as Scott had mentioned earlier, President Olson had mentioned earlier, we were lucky enough to have the close proximity of both the college and the university. There are several other communities in our system that have that. For example, the Greater Mankato area has that as well, if they would be interested in replicating it. So I think that might be one of the challenges. But President Olson, other thoughts?
President Olson.
Chair Pawlowski, Representative Sandel. Representative Sandel, I was enjoying looking at what looked like a Swedish flag behind you earlier, so I miss seeing it now. I was going to say Micke bra, but it's not there anymore. So, to answer your question, this is designed to be replicable across the state, and in fact, that's a very good idea, and we should pursue it. But this is being regarded as a pilot, so what we want to do is make sure we've got all the pieces figured out, that the approvals go smoothly, and then we'll be in a position to go to other colleges and university partners across the state and replicate it. But I think the key is, for now, let us figure out how to get the bugs out of it, make sure it works great, and then go and replicate it across the state. But that was part of the design, part of the vision.
I'm not sure what you said, but Representative Sandel.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Sundin, I think, is next.
Chair Pawlowski. I really do enjoy the presentation here, and I'll be supporting this, of course. And I really appreciate the way you address the pathways into this career and education opportunities for the teachers, but you're talking to a, speaking from a person that really could have been the second or third best history teacher in the state of Minnesota, but turned down those opportunities to pursue money in the trades. I'm just wondering now, what are the financial incentives to bring people into this field? It's, and that's troubling when a person can go out and make double the money they can working, retiring probably earlier than a educator can. What are the incentives?
President Danielson, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. And thank you for the question, Representative Sundin. I really feel that what we're seeing, and we are seeing that here with many of our faculty, are those individuals who have indeed made their money in industry. And then, as I mentioned earlier, that they really want to make a difference. And we're fortunate enough to have several faculty members that are working in that capacity. I mean, we have one gentleman who was, you know, an international, he worked at International in Electronics, the business of electronics, and he has been with us for 2 years and he thinks he's going to give us one more. So there are individuals that are in that capacity.
President Olson.
I want to say Chinguya Bardzo, Representative Pawlowski, to make sure that you don't feel left out in the conversation here. Chair Pawlowski, Representative Sundin, I agree with Dr. Danielson. We've seen lots of folks, kind of mid-career professionals or retired military, who want to give back. And they have their pension, they have their money, but they've had a calling to go into teaching and want to return to it. And then, you know, for many of our students who go into teaching, kind of pursue it when they're 18, 19, 20 years old, it's because it's a family value. It's because it's something that they dream of. We have a lot of students here who are the first in their family to go to college. And for them, teaching represents kind of moving into the solid, secure middle class. So we're confident there'll be a pipeline of students wanting to do it. But they may enter it. The key to that slide that Dr. Danielson shared is we think they might be entering at different points in their career. Somebody might come in their 50s and say, at this point in my life, I want to give back. I want to work with kids. This is what I want to do. So that's why we're designing it the way we are. Thank you for the question.
Representative Sundin, I know one adjunct faculty at Winona State had a career as a golf professional. He taught at high school. He was even in politics for a period of time, and he's still teaching, so, and wanting to teach. So they do come back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just trying to make the point that educators statewide are woefully underpaid, generally speaking. So thank you.
Well, Representative Sundin, I would hope, too, that this would help some of our enrollment problems once this is up and running. You've already alluded to the fact that we have enrollment issues across the system. I would hope this program would be an enticement to start to turn that the other way.
Great.
Any other questions from anyone? I don't see any other questions. So I want to thank President Olson, President Danielson. They're going to keep us updated on this. So as this proceeds, we're going to get reports on just how it's working. So hang on. This isn't the last time you'll hear about it.
Also, right. Chair Pawlowski, Chinguya Bardzo, thank you, committee.
I'd like to echo the same. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you all. And members, with that, meeting is adjourned.